NOLA Trash Talk is brought to you by Scamzy's Diamond Jewelers. Since the first upright monkey man reached into a dirty stream to extract a polished stone for his beloved in hopes of possible procreation, Scamzy's has provided an optimum experience in selling shiny rocks to simple people. So this holiday season, whether she's your girlfriend, wife, or mistress, or if you're Mike Yenny, a student at Jesuit High School, Scamzy's is your number one source for the fruits of slave labor at artificially inflated prices. Scamzy's Diamond Jewelers, since 12,000 in BC, locations everywhere.
No more trash talk.
Merry Christmas. I don't want to fight tonight with.
It's NOLA Trash Talk, episode 174. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And Steve McJesus.
And I don't want to fight tonight with you, but I will put some trumpet players in prison. Holla back.
That was just such an interesting little story of a little boy who played the trumpet and grew up.
And defrauded people out of thousands.
And defrauded people out of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Varsity. I hope everyone enjoyed our Scamzy's Diamond Jeweler commercial. In the
beginning. I enjoyed it for more reasons than one. Do you know why?
Because, why, Steve?
Because the North Korean Santa actually got his from
engagement
Ramses. And tried to get me to go there, and I was like,
it was always in my mind. We did a Dot's Diner parody ad too that you could probably dig up somewhere in NOLA Trash Talk, but because it's the holiday season and jewelry commercials are all over TV and radio right now.
Jared's.
He went to Jared's. Okay. Yeah, and if you just sit down and listen to them, they're disgusting.
They really are.
They're really terrible, yeah. And they've been made fun of before. I think Family Guy did that joke with the two shadows giving each other, like the ring on the finger, and then the girl shadow starts going down a little bit, then it cuts off.
Yeah,
so they've been made fun of before, but, I mean, like, if you really, really listen to jewelry ads all day and sitting at a radio station, I tend to, especially Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, of course, probably...
Yeah, Burr
a lot
had
of trouble
good,
for making
good
fun of
take
them.
On diamonds. He was like, "What makes a diamond worth what it is? It's very arbitrary."
Isn't this like the Santa Claus Coca-Cola thing, where this goes back to the turn of the century?
Yeah,
where just some diamond company or jewelry company made this.
It was a
campaign,
right? Because diamonds were not as valuable, 60 years ago as they are now. Obviously.
They're not valuable at all. They're kept in safes in like De Beers
right.
underground vaults, and we just imagine the prices of them. We tell you that if you don't get your girlfriend one, well, then your proposal wasn't serious.
Right.
So fuck you.
That's pretty much how it works.
It's amazing that kind of like hypnosis they have on people that just show up. What is it? How many paychecks? You're married, Steven. How many paychecks?
I did not listen to that. It's supposed to be 2 months.
2 months of a paycheck
yeah.
to buy a piece of nothing?
I don't know.
And that proves
that you are serious.
I can try to like hook up with a chick for 2 months by just asking her out continuously and going on dates for 2 months.
Right.
So technically, I put in the same amount of effort just to get laid once, not get married.
Yep.
So it's kind of like my example is much more superficial, of course.
What I've also found is that it's never enough. Because I often get pictures of more jewelry that I should be purchasing.
I don't know why. Why need jewelry? I have one necklace. I used to wear more. Mm-hmm. I have just my one dog tag right here. I used to wear bracelets just because I thought that was a thing. And then, no more bracelets.
Yeah, it's never.
I do have a fleur-de-ris ring I break out that I got. All of the stuff I've acquired for free, by the way. I would never actually pay money for some kind of.
You have that ring from the SS as well.
No SS ring getting photographed.
No, that was the teacher.
Yes,
huh?
Teacher at some protest. We want to talk about this trumpet player, but there really is nothing to talk about. He defrauded the exact organization?
The New Orleans Library Foundation.
What's his name? I always get all these Mayfields crisscrossed.
Irvin.
Irvin
Mayfield.
He used to hang out at the bar all the time.
Yeah,
10 years
he
ago.
He had his own bar in the Royal Sonesta. He like the Irvin Mayfield Playground. That's what they called it.
Yeah. Good old Irvin. I think he rides motorcycles, too.
Yeah, he...
He'd bring his dates in.
So we talked about this when the story came out, and we all, like, and the guy on the Library Foundation.
This guy tried really hard to make trumpet playing a badass, rebellious thing to do.
And, you know, he's a piece of garbage. I mean, from what I've heard from people say, he's a scumbag anyway. So I didn't really have a high opinion of him. But
well, you must have a chip on your shoulder when you play trumpet for a living that you got to do some shady shit on the side or else.
But he really is kind of like O.J. Simpson. We talked about this prior because he's very
beloved
by white people.
Yeah.
For reasons unknown.
When
he's just very like.
No. Black guy blown into a brass instrument. Oh, my God. Come meet the family.
It always baffled me about him. But we said before that the company that Dollar Dave used to work for was a nonprofit. And Irvin Mayfield sat on his board of directors, and Irvin Mayfield convinced the president of Dave's old company to donate a lot of money to the Library Foundation, and we found out that that money actually went to paying Ritz-Carlton bills. So when the FBI interviewed people, they had to interview Dollar Dave. And it was interesting.
Was this recently, the FBI interview?
Yeah, this was 4 or 5 months ago. We talked about it.
I know we did it before, but now he's just now getting indicted. That's why we bring it up again.
Well, because the interview, they need to build a case, and then they're like, all right, we have everything we need. And from what I've heard and just research, that this is an open and shut case. I don't even know why he hasn't just said, you know what, I did this. Let's make a deal.
Appeal.
Right. I mean, you can keep punting all you want, Leon Canizzaro, but things are going to end up, you know, bad for you. And when off the air when we were talking before, the reason why the coroner of St. Tammany Parish got basically nothing for what he did is because
he admitted everything.
He admitted everything. He didn't waste the court's time.
He did it Gretna style, plea deal.
Yeah.
Pay the money. Get out of jail more or less for free. He did 4 months.
He was sentenced to like 9, and he ended up doing 4 and then 3 years of probation. But
it's amazing all the way up the chain from a traffic ticket to like homicide. You just get like your initial sentence, and then it's like, well, we can get it down to this. Well, then we can get you off for good behavior.
Yeah.
Then we can get you moved to like a luxury condo suite at a low security place.
I mean, at any time you have nonviolent things like that, they're absolutely, and especially if it's like your first, like if you don't have a record, so they consider that your first offense.
It's funny that my first offense could be extorting people out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's my first offense, officer.
I would imagine that in real life, you know, that's not your first offense, but you know, as the court sees,
sure, you've stolen somebody's pen.
Absolutely.
Before.
Well, you probably, if you've defrauded an entire parish out of hundreds of thousands of dollars, you've probably done other things. But so we're really excited about not having more trumpet players. And really, was he that good?
As good as trumpet players go. I know trumpet playing is probably a lot harder than we both think it is.
Yeah,
knowing nothing of music, me knowing very little.
Well, you know, your boy did have 12
knowing
years of piano.
Nothing
so.
Of music.
Oh, that's right. Josh knows a lot about music. So,
we both are totally ignorant when it comes to trumpet.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that for sure. But I just like, what's the famous trumpet player name? Oh, God. Now I'm drawing a blank.
I don't want to say the wrong name and sound stupid because it's New Orleans and this is a New Orleans podcast.
Oh, Miles Davis. He's not Miles Davis.
No,
so, like, you know.
It's different.
So, it's just, anyway, but.
I'm sure he's got an expensive Miles Davis original poster print at his house, though.
Not anymore. You can put that thing in a jail cell.
All right, speaking of scumbag dudes, we got another sexual assault case going down in New Orleans. Finally, Hollywood comes home to us. We've been, you know, watching this Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein business from afar.
Oh, Matt Damon now.
Oh, Matt Damon? Great. Wonderful. I was wondering if it was ever going to hit handsome people.
I guess Dustin Hoffman.
Matt Lauer. Is he handsome?
Matt Lauer.
He was just banging one of the people on his crew.
Housewives loved him.
Yes, they did.
What a weird. Oh. But then the guy, hold up, the chef in New York. We got to talk about this.
Oh, and John Besh. I'm sorry. Technically, we did have John Besh. He's a local boy. He was part of the story, too.
The chef in New York, with Mario Batali or whatever his name is, I don't know. They had a restaurant. This other guy had a restaurant, and in it, they had the quote, rape room.
The rape room.
I'm like, why would you?
How do you call something that?
So fun.
It's ridiculous.
But now we have the one of the producers, the actual showrunner of NCIS New Orleans, Brad Kern, investigated Toys for Misconduct. Apparently a bunch of girls left the show. NCIS has been in New Orleans now for 4 years, I believe.
Yeah, they actually, their producer that used to be on there, their head executive producer, left, and now it's somebody else.
We talked about that before.
Joseph nice something.
Guy.
Nice
Love
guy.
His vodka. Well, this showrunner, he, I guess he's, I don't know if it's touchy or just mean to work for.
Right.
Apparently he's awful, according to some other sources in this article.
What is the role, Josh?
Can NCIS New Orleans do a show about a show in New Orleans where a guy gets investigated for sexual assault?
That would just be ironic.
Would that just
that would be hilarious?
Would they could film in their own production office? I'm sure they'd love to save that money. Why not? Steal that idea. I want to see
it. You've worked on movies. What is the role of an executive producer?
I mean, that could be anything from someone who just put some money up or someone who put one idea in. The whole point of a lot of those like garbage action movies that go straight to DVD and actually turn
just
somewhat of a
credits.
Strange profit. Yeah, it's get as many of your friends on board, friends, business partners, right. whatever, on board with credits, and then the stuff keeps pumping out a small amount of money in different markets. So they know it's garbage in America, but it might play in China.
In China, yeah, yeah.
And there'll be 20 producers on it. There'll be like the five famous ones or three famous ones, but then it'll just be da-da-da-da-da-da. And they might have actually done a script note, a single note on a character or a plot turn.
It could be anything.
Well, we want to talk about movies. I saw Star Wars on Thursday night. And
did you wait in line?
No. We're straight in, assigned seats.
Oh, good.
Easy peasy.
Where'd you see it?
Elmwood. Before we get to Star Wars, that's a good infuriating thing to get into. No, NCIS, please, make a show about your own issue. This would be quite amusing.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who watches NCIS. I think all those people live in suburbs of other states. Those are your general CBS viewers.
If they keep greenlighting it, I mean, for another season, it's obviously somebody's watching.
People who listen to the show for a long time, I worked on season one of Zoo, which was the sister show of NCIS. Season one was shot in New Orleans. They've since moved it to Vancouver, and I don't know where season three is. Amazingly, that show is still on the air.
Yeah,
about
what company held that? Was it CBS?
That's the CBS. Oh, wow. We were the two shows. So, wow. As a personal note, I never got along with NCIS because they look down on all the Zoo people.
I never even heard of Zoo.
Well, exactly. That's because people like us, we don't watch CBS.
We don't watch cable TV.
The only thing on network TV that any of us would watch of the holy trinity of CBS, ABC, and NBC, or quadrinity, Fox is Fox.
Right.
Because Fox had The Simpsons, and all those other stations have nothing. Well, NBC is Saturday Night Live. Anyway, a sidebar to talking about entertainment. I went to Elmwood, the AMC there, to see Star Wars at 10:45 on Thursday night.
Wow.
And I'm going to quote a review I saw online where someone said, now it's got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, but
that doesn't mean anything. I've heard the worst things about it.
Means nothing. Someone said, I went in happy and came out sad and confused.
Right.
Yeah, so basically all the things that I wanted to know based on the episode 7, like most people who are, I'm passively into Star Wars. Like, nothing was fixed, not answered, more questions, complete disarray. It was so obvious that I could see the Disney production like script notes.
Right.
And production notes of like, can we do this differently? Can we put more cute animals in it that we can sell plush dolls? Can we do more gratuitous close-ups of like lightsabers so the prop collectors, you know, nut all over themselves in the theater because they can't wait to buy it? There was like these close-ups of weapons and things where the camera hung on things just too long. And I was like, that's purposely because they want to sell you that. And I'm not going to do this. This is not a spoiler review per se. Something about the movie rubbed me the wrong way that the other ones did. And I don't care if they make new Star Wars movies. They'll obviously make them into forever.
They just bought 21st Century Fox.
And they just got all the Fox properties, too. I don't know how this is going to infect New Orleans
exactly.
I want to keep everything hyper-local. But Star Wars was...
Was there anybody dressed up?
Yeah, it was a premiere thing. There were people dressed up. I wore a Star Wars shirt there. That's me dressed up.
Yeah, but you weren't dressed up as Princess Leia.
I wore my Star Wars shirt, and I wore my Michael Kors pajama pants.
Yeah, ever since... ever since Batman shooting theater...
Yeah, they won't do the midnight premiere. They premiere it earlier now.
Was there a lot of security?
Yeah. I mean, medium, whatever.
I don't go see movies on premieres anymore.
Aw, you scared?
Yep.
You really scared that because one guy did it, it's just going to keep happening.
I just have bad luck like that.
I was just in New York, and I would go back to New York tomorrow, and I wouldn't think twice about some guy with a half-assed pipe bomb in the subway.
God, that was so funny.
Who couldn't even blow himself up.
So funny.
Wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
In fact, how many times have we had shootings around the corner from this very office where we record Dollar Trash Talk?
A lot.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah, they...
we walking down Canal Street, at the far end of Canal Street, 2 in the morning, drunk from wits end, not even thinking about it.
Right. Premieres are like, I would never stand in line for that kind of deal.
There's no line.
I know, but because they do assign seats now, but like 5 years ago, they weren't doing that.
I know what you're talking about.
And remember when people used to sleep outside for movie premieres?
Yeah.
It's absurd. It really is absurd.
I didn't get the vibe that there was that many creepy, like, desperate people hanging out at Star Wars. But, you know, it's a big cultural touchstone. It's going to make a $5 billion.
Was there a lot more action?
In the movie itself?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same. If you've seen any Star Wars movie, this is the thing. You know when you get ripped off? Somebody, like, just... But it's not, like, immediately, like, picked your pocket in the French Quarter. Kind of like, oh, someone just jacked my phone. Not like that kind of ripped off. But somebody does something to you that maybe you bought, like, a piece of junk watch or something. I'm thinking of, like, a dated example. Or some other high-tech gadget or an app for your phone. You paid for something. And the feeling of being ripped off kind of, like, slowly washes over you over,
yes,
like, 4 or 5 days.
That's what Star Wars is doing.
Star Wars is kind of like that. You see the movie, and you're just bombarded with stimuli. And then as you walk away and you sleep on it and you think about it, you realize you just watched the same thing for the 8th time.
Did you see it in 3D?
And it's just, yeah, we were in one of the Dolby, whatever, IMAX 3D theaters. Oh, you got to spend the extra money and see it in 3D. I hear that way too often. A lot of these movies is just bludgeon you with effects, and like every other line's a joke. You know how Guardians of the Galaxy was very funny, as well as being a space movie?
Yes.
People might not have seen one or the other. Well, that trickle-down effect has now ruined all fucking movies forever. Yeah. Because now every script note from every producer and every director will be like, this is kind of dark. And based on, people don't like dark.
Everything's sarcastic, like Deadpool.
Everyone winking at the camera knowing they're in a movie.
Right.
That's starting to creep into Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
So you come out of the movie, and once again, I've given nothing away. Just more of like a sense of it. It's just like, why do I feel like I just got, like, jacked?
Ryan Reynolds is the same character in every movie.
Never just jumping around on movies. Let's talk about Bourbon Street. Let's take it down to where you will get jacked in real life, and it won't take you a few days to figure out where your money went.
Again, I was telling Josh this off the air, but his posts, the commentary on the posts are hilarious. And this one right here, at what point will they realize that they need to make the top of these things slanted?
Bollards.
So people won't set drinks.
These are those barrier pole things that they put in the on Bourbon Street so cars can't drive through. Yes, they're flat-topped. And you know how they had that little, like, not permanent, like, street closure thing they had earlier? Like
And
it was just covered in drinks and cups and everything.
Hilarious.
Now, looking at the Bollards, I see the flat-tops. Like, all right, well, that's going to just be drinks everywhere. I bring this up because part of what I do at one of my jobs are, you know, LED displays at stadiums and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ribbon boards that run around
right. The
arenas? Any sports arena, see it? You can people listening see it on TV. So there's probably a front row somewhere where their seat is right at that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many times do you think people spill beer and food over the edge of those things that could get down into those ribbons?
I would imagine a lot.
So the top of those ribbon boards
are
sloped.
They're
triangles.
They should have like a curvature.
Yeah, so you can't set anything on it because they don't want you spilling shit on it. So I see these and I think of what I do. Like, huh. This is not groundbreaking technology.
Right, so
those could be pyramids on the top of each of
those.
We could build them ourselves. We could go over and glue things ourselves and charge the city.
They did this in New York after the vehicular homicide guy, and they put these in the sidewalk, but all that allowed for was bums to sit on them, and people had to walk through the bums who were just grazing, you know? So, like, it's the same kind of concept.
Grazing. I want to add something about the last episode. I talked about a trip to New York I did last weekend. I want to add that I went to Ground Zero for the first time. This completely slipped my mind last episode.
Oh, wow.
I'd never been to Ground Zero before. There's an entire underground shopping mall in Ground Zero.
Oh, yeah, they had to.
The Oculus is what it's called. I've never been offended because I don't know what that feels like. I was like walking out of Star Wars. I was sad and confused.
Right, the same thing.
Why is there a giant Westfield managed shopping mall underneath Ground Zero with designer stores, Starbucks? It's huge. It is huge, and it ties into the train system. I don't know. Was that always there?
No.
That wasn't always there.
No.
I haven't done my research on, like, because obviously you can get to the subways from it. But I was like, they put a giant mall at Ground Zero? Because they knew, like, well, there's going to be a lot of foot traffic
That's smart.
I mean,
it is a little bit, you know.
No, but here's the thing. Because, you know, conspiracy theory, Joshua. Not conspiracy theory. These are facts. I'm in the giant underground shopping mall, the Oculus, at Ground Zero.
Loose change. Douche.
No, not that. No, don't paint me with that brush.
I'm sorry.
And I noticed one of the stores there, Hugo Boss.
Boss.
Big, you know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
Clothing designer store? Hugo Boss is the company that designed the SS uniforms for Nazi Germany. That's in the front of my mind when I see certain companies, like Ford. Ford made trucks for a third of the trucks in Germany were Ford trucks.
Right.
I just think about these things. Just like little stars flying around my head, like, And I'm just like, I'm at Ground Zero. I'm in this giant mall. And there's these fucking treacherous goddamn companies.
Right.
With blood on their hands. Not that I should give a fuck about any of these things, but just like the facts are smacking me in the face.
Yeah.
The absurdity of it all.
It really is.
I got a coffee at Starbucks.
Of course you did.
Because it was quite cold at Ground Zero, ironically. Yeah. And no pictures. No selfies at Ground Zero. Sorry.
So, they're going to build these so that nobody can drive through Bourbon. And are they going to be permanent? Or are they just going to be like...
No, they're not permanent. You can
like pump them. So they're going to lower them during the day, and at nighttime they're going to raise them up? Because how do you do deliveries to bars?
Yeah, they're not. They've never been. They've put that stuff in there before.
Right.
And this is part of the city's $40 million safety plan.
We need the infrastructure.
These little bullards that you can set your cup on is supposed to stop crazy guy from driving down the street. But, of course, if I'm crazy guy in a box truck and want to run into some people, I could pick another street. I could do a canal.
Well,
Decatur, where everybody...
Did we go out here?
No, Decatur, where everyone's crossed and right there in front of Dumond.
Ugh.
There's my box truck.
Yeah.
Straight through.
You, everybody waiting outside online for
people tripping over these bollards as they bollards whatever as they run away from a shooter. That'll be good too. That'll choke up the lanes of people trampling each other.
I don't
$40 million.
Yeah, it seems like you know they just kind of like form over substance. Let's just do something.
It's everything. That's government, and that's everything everywhere. Say that you have a problem at your office, HR. They have to do some kind of like superficial, well, we're going to have a seminar on sexual harassment because Lucy in payroll
feels
like so-and-so talked to her uncomfortably the other day. So everybody get together. We have one meeting about sexual harassment. And then now it's a bigger deal. Obviously, nowadays I'm talking like probably 10 years ago in an office setting.
Right.
That's what it is. Or Steve, you've had some issues with some coworkers recently. We're going to send you to a one-day teamwork seminar at the Ritz-Carlton. And then all of your problems are solved because we have made an effort to fix you.
Yeah, so, you know, certainly in corporate America they would have done that. This all reminds me, and I was just talking to...
Government does it too? It'll be like a one-button fix for something?
I was talking about when I was a senior at Loyola and our coach did this because something, like, I forget, like, there was, like, a lot of, like, athletes getting in trouble for stuff. And so they brought in a specialist to talk to us about, like, you know, when you're drinking with women. And, all right, so it was one of the
consultants on drinking with women.
It's
I can do this.
It's like
when does a good touch become a bad touch?
You have never seen 12 guys like completely disinterested in what this woman said in your life, but we were all just trying to just be quiet. You know, let's just like go along to get along, this will end fast. Well, one of my teammates that you know very well decided that he was going to challenge this person.
You got to.
And 2.5 hours later, we were done.
A lead monkey has to stand up for the tribe.
She asked a question, and I can't say the question. And he, all right, I will. She asked the question,
So, have any of you ever been involved in a gangbang or known of one that was taking place?
Wow.
Now.
Or known of one.
Known of one. Like, known of, like, your friends being one. Everyone in the room decided that they were going to just say, absolutely not. No, I've never heard of that. Except one lone teammate, known as Dollar Dave, decided to raise his hand. And he looked around, like, at us, like...
Dave getting in here twice on this episode.
Nobody else? He was like, nobody else? And we're all like, why did you, like, look at him, like, why did you raise your hand? So he's like, he looked at us like all of you were liars. But anyway, so that sparked this conversation of, like...
And so, like, you know, when you're drinking with women at parties and da-da-da, so...
Like, he was breaking down our logic. So
this is topical because a lot of corporate Christmas parties are going down this week.
Oh, and so anyway, it was just funny. But with the corporate Christmas parties, a lot of them are taking out liquor.
Okay, good luck. Well, no one says you have to go to the corporate Christmas party. The bar next to the
just
the
doing
job.
Like, as if
I heard this too over at
as if beer and wine. You know, we can't. You can only have so much of that.
Why? I love this. Distrust of their employees.
It's hilarious.
You animals. We're not giving you, because you're going to get, so you're going to have too much
hilarious.
Champagne, and then next thing, we're going to look away for a moment, then you're going to be banging each other.
Like, it's so weird, yeah.
I've heard that, like, why do companies even have, like, these Christmas parties? And I think, like, you can't pluck the Christmas party away and this stops the problem, because everyone hangs out with who they work with. So the next step from here is no... fraternizing at the workplace at all. We're in Gestapo land real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know.
Shock collars on everyone.
It's so foreign to me.
They horse around.
Like, we just don't deal with this at my office. Like, we just don't deal with any.
You don't
of
know. You don't know when some of these ladies go home from work, that how they cry.
Oh, sure. They probably cry for other reasons, but I can assure you that is not from coworkers. I read these stories and I don't know. It's just so foreign to me. I don't understand it.
Well, one of your new options to go hang out with drunk with your friends when you're not having a Christmas party is the new food truck lot in the Lower Garden districts. Someone standing to try to compete with Chop Yard.
Yeah, so I was going to say, because Chop Yard has food trucks in it, but this is just a food truck lot.
Food trucks in it where they have the pop-up kitchen. They have their new giant indoor bar, too.
Right.
So Chop Yard can comfortably get 300 coworkers trashed so you can all sleep with each other. This place is going to just park a bunch of food trucks together with a permanent bar and a permanent breakfast kitchen attached around Religious Street, Low Garden District. This is in the vicinity of Walmart.
Yeah, what's the address on that? It's like 1636 Religious Street.
It's in the photo that NOLA.com posted. They got those strung up lights across the top like Chop Yard. So I guess they Deja Vu Food Park, because it feels like you've been there before. Yeah, I've been at Chop Yard before. Thank you.
They say Lower Garden District, but like, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, it's right after Wally World, and it's right, it's between Wally World and the Expressway.
Yes, in the dead zone.
In the dead zone, where all
where
the DUIs
usually,
take
usually
place.
All the NCIS production trucks are parked.
And all the DUIs take place.
Well, yeah. That was my other point, because they have a kitchen that's going to be a permanent breakfast kitchen that opens up at 5 a.m. Now, DUI checkpoints usually run from...
Like 1 to 6 or something?
Like 8 p.m. No, or, like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Oh, okay.
And DUI checkpoint, favorite location for NOPD, we know they only have 3 or 4 of them, is the Walmart. So we're going to have a breakfast place at 5 a.m. almost as like bait.
Because like
for
you
drunk
have to,
people
yeah.
to come to the place that opens at 5 a.m., which isn't really that late in terms of New Orleans like nightlife,
right?
Or early, however you want to look at it.
I don't know, man. I mean, does somebody own the like the land?
Think about this.
Renting?
You've got the two outdoor, because this is a patio bar. The whole food truck park is just like an element of this. Was it Deja Vu Food Park? So they've put this outdoor food park thing down the road from Chop Yard. And in between will be your Walmart DUI checkpoint on Chapatillas. I just see the nefarious, goddamn, let's rip off people with some tickets.
Yeah, like, I don't know. And again, it's in a place where it's like, I guess they're putting it there because they think they're going to get a lot of, like, through traffic.
Well, they need all the space to park trucks.
Yeah, that's what I was, I don't know. I mean, I always, I was just talking to somebody who designs restaurants yesterday, and this guy is really smart, and he was telling me, he's like, you know, when you design a restaurant, this is what you want to do, operating capital, blah, blah, blah. But, like, whenever somebody comes to me and they're like, oh, this is my new restaurant idea, I'm always, like, skeptical, like, how is this going to work?
Yeah. So, the guy who founded this thing, or the girl or guy, Sharonda Baudy, he said, it's been a long road. I can see why no one has done it. When Chop Yard is down the street.
Yeah, like Chop, like they bring in food trucks and
Chop Yard's right? Operation has been like a work in progress since 2010.
Yeah.
So, 1681 Religious Street, folks, Deja Vu Food Park. Let us know.
I guess the only difference there is the breakfast option.
The Soul Station Kitchen will open up at 5 a.m.
Who do they think is going to come at 5 a.m.?
I don't. This is one of those just. Someone wrote an idea down on a napkin, and now here we are.
Like, cops? Probably.
Could it be a good mix of drunk people and cops?
Do you? Woo. Oh my gosh! Well, we'll be monitoring this, and we will see how long it takes them to start opening at 8, as opposed to 5. Because if you open somewhere at 5, you have to get there at 4. So who's running a kitchen on the other side of the city at 4 in the morning? An idiot.
Checkpoint Charlie's? Not Checkpoint Charlie's. The trolley stop. That's your only other drunk food option.
Right. Really. Oh, yeah. Well, that's 24 hours, though.
Well, I hope they got a lot of mops at Deja Vu Food Park.
Yeah, so you're coming down Chop, and then you got to take the right on St. James, and then you get on Religious Street, so you don't go to the... It's almost like they're letting people sober up a little, and then they get turned off so they don't keep going down Chop. It's weird.
Steven, where are you at with your Christmas shopping? Aside from picking up the jewelry at Scamsies, Diamond
right.
Jewelers.
I did it all on Cyber Monday. I was smart.
Oh, wow. I didn't think you were actually going to have an answer for me.
I did it all.
Well, had you gone to the North Shore, you would have found a Victoria's Secret with a few items missing. Because 5 women robbed them. $1,500 worth of merchandise up there in St. Tammany.
Oh, that in Pleasantville?
Yeah. Where you can't build a snowman.
Oh, without your and their scarf getting jacked.
And they're jacking Victoria's Secret gear.
Yeah.
What kind of lady robs a Victoria's Secret? Because you know this wasn't a clever resale operation.
No. I'm always baffled by people stealing merchandise.
Yeah, I mean,
what are you going to do with it?
The Walmart in
what's the odds of you?
Walmart in the East got robbed. They went in with hammers into the electronics section and took like a PS4s and Xboxes and now that stuff has resale value,
right?
Somewhat.
Hey, what are you going to do on eBay? Like sell your Victoria's Secret
lingerie?
Like, can you go to the story, please? Because this is hilarious. Hold up. Let's see.
You want to do the play-by-play?
Oh yeah, let's do this. Okay. So
we're watching the video right now
from the top. So you have 5 women.
This is a very clear camera. I wonder if they have cameras of this quality in the French Quarter that would possibly catch the license plate of someone getting dragged to the West Bank under the car. No, they don't. Never mind.
So it's an aerial view, and you see
there's a door to the outside from Victoria's Secret,
and these ladies just walked out with stuff in their hand. And the attendant at the door tried to stop them, and this lady just mushed him in the face. Watch her just mush. Like, he's trying to stop her right here. Or Mace. Oh, that was Mace. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Mace.
So,
mushed Mace.
Right. Hey. So there's somebody just standing by the door, and these ladies just walk out gangster and just go, like, very casually. They don't even run. They're just walking out, and then right as they get to the door, Mace the attendant. Oh, that sucks.
One with Mace and one with a stun gun. Five chicks did this.
It was only 2 of them on the video there.
Between heights of 5'5 and 5'10, and all believed to be in their 20s. Contact the Mandeville Police Department if you see anybody sporting some fine new lingerie.
Dude, how much does your day suck?
I'm not going to say what color these people were.
When you're just standing by the door, and these people are just walking out, and you're like...
I know, as a bouncer, that's never happened. Right, I guess I wasn't selling
But one
underwear.
Of the people that got maced was just a shopper. Oh. She just happened to be standing there. Like, go back to the video. Look, I'll show you. So see this lady right here? She's just texting. These two people are just texting by the outside of the door.
Right. Wrong place, wrong time.
And then all of a sudden, these people are just walking out, no problem. And then, okay, they got a bunch of stuff in there. And then, wham, mace. Like, that is...
Oh, then she had the taser. I saw the taser going off from the girl behind her.
Oh, man.
That's nice. Just what, ran straight through.
What part of the North Shore? Oh, is it Mandeville?
It's in Mandeville. It's a standalone Victoria's Secret, not part of a shopping mall.
I know where it is. It's that is Pleasantville right there.
Yeah.
I guess if you were going to steal from places, you should go to Pleasantville because they just absolutely don't expect that. Nothing.
I always think about, like, if you want to pull some real crime, just find a small town.
Yeah, like, they just don't – they're not built for that. I mean, like, they probably don't even have a security guard there. I thought the security guard was that guy. He was just a patron, just standing there. He's actually the – you know what sucks about that? That was the guy – texting, waiting for his wife to shop, and he was like, I'm just going to stand by the door and text.
You know how easy it is to pull off stuff like that? Think about all those movies where, like, someone like Borat punks people, and they're like legit citizens or government officials in some small town in a southern state.
Right.
Like, getting away with that, just like messing with people, is kind of like the equivalent of getting away with a crime.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because we could just show up with a truck, throw on some orange vests to any random Walmart somewhere and say, like, we got to fix a water pipe that's in the back over here, and just unload stuff into toolboxes and walk out.
Right, but I mean, I don't understand, like...
Walk anywhere with a clipboard, you can get away with some shit.
Like, when he does that stuff, like, and he does it as a goof, like, is that why he gets off? Because he's doing it as a goof? Like, but
I'm just saying, if you can fool people that much... I feel like he can't do that in, like, Manhattan.
No, he has to go to, like, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, nobody's going to know. Yeah, I'm saying we're planning a crime here, Steve.
Right.
We're going to focus on these small little Pleasantvilles throughout the country.
Right. Let's go off to Ames, Iowa.
We're like bank robbers in the 30s over here.
Oh, speaking of bank robberies, Ocean's 8. It's probably going to be an Oscar-worthy movie.
Ocean's 8?
Oh, God.
Oh, that's the all-female one, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Cool. I wish them the best of luck.
Oscar-worthy flick.
I think...
Sandra Bullock is a master thief.
That'll work as well as the all-female versions of everything else.
So what's with the guy suing the Saints?
Oh, suing the Saints. Now, future reference here, folks, going to be... completely honest with everyone. We are recording the show on Saturday, December 16th. The Saints are playing the Jets tomorrow as of this show. We're doing two shows within a week because that's how the schedule shakes out. So I'm probably not going to upload this till Sunday morning. This is going to go up on Sunday morning. Jets game hasn't happened yet. I guess we don't have to do any Jets conjecture here. But yeah, apparently some guy, because of all these NFL protests, thinks he can sue the Saints. He has no case. He has absolutely... I don't know as much about...
I could not think of a... I mean, I guess I could, but...
You sue somebody for not providing a service that they were contractually obligated to give you.
Right.
In this case, none of that happened.
Josh?
And why not just sell your tickets and then donate them to some, like, super racist cause if you really want to stick it?
Yeah, like, I don't understand.
There's literally a list of thousands of people waiting for season tickets.
Can you go to this article, please? Because... I briefly read this on it was on Yahoo too, so that's but oh gosh, sound. But the let's see, the New Orleans Advocate reports that this guy Lee Dragna, Morgan City, Louisiana, is seeking reimbursement of his ticket costs for $8,000. Did he attend any of the games? He attended the Saints opener, okay. When he says some players were not on the field during the anthem. He has not been to a game since.
Once again, this goes back to, it's the art and the artist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching the guys play football. As soon as they cross the white line to the sideline, they could be like hammering or beating little baby seals with bats and making raincoats. I don't care, as long as we win.
Right. I I couldn't.
Kevin Spacey's allegations have not affected the fact that I will probably watch Seven again very soon.
And it's not small claims court because it's $8,000 more than five.
Somebody happily give him $10,000 for those tickets.
Absolutely.
Boom.
They must be nice.
Why not tell us where the seats are in the article, Yahoo Sports?
Keep going down.
A little helpful here. Superdome diagram would help.
Right. So it's not a surprise, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Dragnet told the Advocate on Tuesday that the behavior of the other fans, who are also quite upset at players protesting, such as cursing, spilling beer, is borderline dangerous.
How are these adults more coddled than us? How are people older than us, who've been on the earth longer, have a more coddled... I can expect this from, like, the hypersensitive safe space college kids. I can get that from them. But this is an adult.
This
who obviously has earned enough money in his life to have $8,000 season tickets.
This is so absurd.
They're offending me, and I don't want to get beer spilled on me. Somebody give me my $8,000 back.
This is so absurd. I don't even know why it's a news article.
Because it's absurd.
Because
we clicked on it, Steve.
I guess so.
I had to stop several pop-up ads from happening, reading it.
I'm wondering, like, if you're in the Saints front office and you receive, like,
they take turns laughing about
you're being sued for what? Oh, this. Okay. Like, I don't even know how you respond to this.
Did he get the tickets? Do the tickets get him to the seat that the ticket says it was on?
Yes.
Then we're done.
We're done.
We're done.
So this guy has really expensive tickets.
You can't. Imagine if someone spills beer at you at any event, at the opera.
Yeah.
You're going to sue the opera? That's how ridiculous this is.
No. Oh, man. But you're right. It's adults that
yeah,
are.
This is a guy older than us, wealthier than us.
This guy is definitely wealthy because, again, $8,000 tickets, like, so $4,000 a ticket for the season. That means that he's got $500 seats. These must be in the club level, like, in the middle of the. Must be, like, 50-yard line in the club level. Like, because that's like the best. I can't think of a $500 ticket.
He's got a pretty good view of the players not standing or kneeling or whatnot.
Yeah, I guess not. So I hope that there's some sort of like follow-up story to this that just says they went to court. The judge threw it out in 2 minutes.
He says his legal action is not for show, this Dragna dude. He says it's as honest as it gets. They don't even want to talk about this, but I don't care. One way or another, they'll pay. Go fuck yourself.
I remember reading that quote the other day thinking
I'm all for like trying to get paid or whatever. I'm all whatever you got to do in life. You know, rob somebody, be a hitman, desk job, toll booth worker, whatever you got to do to get the money.
Baby driver.
Sue a football team for the cost of your season tickets. Just be a little
It's baffling. Again, I'm just...
Where's the self-awareness in these people?
It's nowhere.
I'm going to walk around with a basket at the Saints game tomorrow, or today, if you're listening to this on Saints game Sunday against the Jets, and just be like, if you feel offended by the Saints, please put your season tickets in this basket.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
We will donate these to some cause. Not really. I will sell them on eBay.
Yeah, he could have.
StubHub.
And think of how stupid he is that if he didn't sell his tickets...
Why would you do this before... We don't know if we have a home playoff game.
If he didn't sell his tickets, he's an idiot because he just kept them. Like, he obviously didn't sell them because he would have received. All right, but we went on an 8-game winning streak. Like,
the value of his tickets have only gone up. But they're still going up.
They're still going up.
We're going to the playoffs. We may have a home playoff game. Like, if things shake out the way they're looking like they will, ticket value through the roof.
Yeah.
Make it a this guy cannot be allowed. Somebody needs to watch him from the NFL, make sure he is not part of any transaction with his Saints tickets at the playoff game.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to pull that shit, dude.
I would imagine that.
You could have before, but now you can't.
That wouldn't bode out too well for him. And again, you got to love articles that are like, earlier this season, President Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah,
blah.
Well,
they got to loop Trump in.
Of course you got to.
If
Absolutely.
You weren't mad before, be mad now.
I thought this was a non-issue.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
I thought this was going away.
He's red, I'm blue. He's black, I'm white. Rah.
Okay, see, that's life in New Orleans. This is NOLA Trash Talk, episode 174. I was the prophet Joshua.
Steve McJeezy.
And the last bit of every show, even though we already did it this week, Endless Conjecture, Saints Jets, tomorrow or today. What are you saying, Steven?
Saints, they're 15-point favorite.
Yeah, Saints all day,
Jets
baby.
Jets have their backup quarterback.
All right, see you next week, folks.